Blog Talk Radio.
Conviction to See Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
Everybody, Stephen Bubba here, Bozilla, if you will. I want to thank our vice president for coming on tonight. She has a guest to come on, and she has no title. What you already go through is already explained to you what's going on. I'm gonna let them have all the whole floor, so they y'all guys already know who I am. But I want her to introduce herself. My guest, please introduce yourself and go ahead and take it from there.
How you doing? My name is Rufus Bowman. I am actually Cassidy Bowman's husband. And I am incarcerated in Toledo Correctional Facility at this moment.
And as he said, sorry, y'all, I am Cassidy Bowman. That is my amazing husband. And we are doing life together on this journey of incarceration at this moment, at this leg of the journey. So thank you, Stephen, for having us on tonight. We really, really appreciate it.
No problem. Like I said before, whatever I can do is to help. Your husband knows that I have been incarcerated. I also was a CEO, so everybody knows that. But I want him to tell his story because I've heard his story, and it's something that you would think would be coming on TV right now. Channel ABC should be able to do it because it is a story and a half. I'll tell you right now, you guys, if you see the platform, her profile, go to her profile, Chastity's profile, and check it out. She sends this all over for people to sign up. You guys need to sign up. So I'm going to let it go from there. You guys go ahead and take it over. I'll still be here, but go ahead and go.
Awesome. So where are we going to start, honey?
I'll let you start. From the beginning.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you guys a little bit about us.
You.
On my leg of the journey before I met my wife, and then we can go from there. All right, like I said before, my name Rufus Bowman. Y'all can call me Rufus. But I am from Over the Rhine community in Cincinnati. And as people know that, as the people that's from Cincinnati that know it, it's really poverty. I grew up in poverty, and I made some mistakes that got me where I'm at. But I look at them as learning lessons. And I'm kind of choking on it, but I look at them as learning lessons. And
this call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
Excuse her, though. But I look at them as learning lessons. And like I said, I grew up in poverty, and we struggled a whole lot. And where I'm at now is just, like, amazing. It's amazing. And I actually met my wife with my mom. She was inside of a Battle for Women program. She was going through a situation, and I had called home, and she was in like a room, whatever, with different women and stuff in there, and they were loud, like, but I only heard my wife voice, and my wife only said a small word, like what or something. I don't know what she said, but I heard her voice clearly. I guess she was speaking to me. And I asked my mom, like, who was that? And my mom was like, oh, her name's Chastity. And I guess it's the only thing that got her from her hearing the name made her draw into, like, who was that? Like, she got on the phone. We spoke for about a hot second. She did not even want to talk to me any time of day at all. Because not only is I'm in prison, but we 15-year-old. It's a 15-age gap between us. So she didn't want to give me the time of day at all. But I was persistent, and I kept chucking at her, and she finally opened the door. And, you know, in the worst, I'll let her take it over.
So, yeah, what he said. So he grew up in Over the Rhine and here in Cincinnati. And I'm not originally from Cincinnati. I'm from a small town in West Virginia, the coal fields of West Virginia, very rural, very small, 98% white community, the Bible Belt of West Virginia. So our backgrounds are total opposites. We are total polar opposites. He grew up in the streets at a very young age. He grew up in a poverty-stricken neighborhood, and he was exposed to things that I never thought about at that age, at 12, 13. I would have never seen myself outside selling drugs, being exposed to crime at that age. I was still in church 5-6 days a week. I had a stable family. I had, you know, a great support system. And so our lives are very opposite of each other. However, they are very similar because as my journey, as I started going through life, I started to rebel against the life that I knew. And I started to pick up a life of crime that really didn't make sense. It didn't go with the way I was raised, but I was just being rebellious, which led me to being in a battered women's shelter because I was running from a bad relationship and I was trying to escape it. And I had lost everything in 2016. And then we met. Meeting in this place to where we were both hopeless that we didn't have anything. He didn't have nothing. I didn't have nothing. But through all these experiences in the last 4.5 years, it has propelled me into a platform for social justice. And so it started out.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
It started out, I wanted to advocate for him because of the things that was going on inside the prison. And then I started to meet people on the outside that was doing advocacy work. So I started on the Bell Project. And it has led me to Capitol Hill lobbying for higher education. I've jumped on different bills for juvenile lifers. So it has spiraled into now we are getting ready to host our own radio show.
That's coming soon.
On Monday night, seven.
Yes, it's a, it's a seven. It's Monday night at 7, and it is called Doing Life Together with Rue and Chaz. And I think that this will really help a lot of men and female that are going through situations like we're going through, because there are 2.7 million people that are incarcerated. So I know out of 2.7 million people, that there are 2.7 million people that got a little Chaz and Rue in them, period. Like, and I think this show does not only help them, but it'll help different perspectives of people that never been incarcerated or never met anyone that's incarcerated or know anyone who have an incarcerated type of relationship with someone that's incarcerated. Like, it'll give you a better perspective of the people that are incarcerated. Because some people are biased, some people understand, and some people just don't get it. And that's okay, because we're here to let you know, like, that we go through everything that y'all go through. Only difference is I'm in prison and my wife is out there. And sometimes it's worse, our relationship sometimes it's worse because it's only mental, it's not physical. So, but like my wife was enlightening you guys a little bit about what I went through. It's like I was, 13 years old? And the first equipped thing I knew was survive. So at 13 years old, I was taking care at home. Like, 13 years old, I'm paying rent. Like, it might blow you guys' mind because you wouldn't think of a 13-year-old child like he's supposed to be playing basketball or football, but that wasn't the case at all. So they went from there to joining gangs, from gangs to, at 16 years old, I caught a felonious assault over just someone walking past. You know what I'm saying? Like, said something and walked past, and I got 3 years for that. I came home, and, like, I wanted to change, but I had no avenue to change. I had no one to help me do that. And I still was trapped. I wasn't trapped mentally. I mean, I wasn't trapped physically, but I was trapped mentally in my surroundings, in my environment. And that's all I knew was what I grew up with. All I knew was these people I grew up with. You know, like, you don't know that you're poor when you're around everyone that's poor. So all we know is survival. So the things that I was doing, I didn't look at it at the time that it was wrong. I didn't look at it at all that it was wrong. I felt that this is my tool that God gave me to survive. But now, me being a man that I am now, I understand that it was wrong. I understand the mistakes that I made was wrong. I understand it. And I want to help other men that are going through what I'm going through so we won't have no more of our men inside of here, modern-day slavery. So we won't have any more women coming to prison to visit their husbands. This is what I'm trying to stop. This is what me and my wife trying to stop is this. And we're here to enlighten you about what goes on inside of here. And we're not going to just always talk about prison because our TV show is about life. And our life does not always evolve around prison, though I'm in prison and she do prison work. Our life does not always evolve around it. So it'll be different avenues and different things. Like, and we're going to share a lot. You know, we're going to share a lot. And then you're going to say, Becky, you know, I'll take over and just keep talking.
Now, do you guys have any questions
now,
for us?
You have 1 minute remaining.
Right now, you guys answered all the questions I would have. As far as your husband being locked up,
thank you for using GTL.
Being locked up as a child. All right. Being locked up as a child and going through the system. That's basically what we take care of. You know, the pipeline, as far as the prison-school pipeline, you know, school-to-prison pipeline, that's the things that we talked about because that's all he knew. And like we said, him being locked up at that age, there's no way he could actually think about being a child because he was being an adult taking care of a household. Just like you said, I was paying rent at this age. You want to think about my age, I want to think about paying no rent at that age. I was thinking about what time we're going to play basketball, or when we going to the arcade,
or when we going to the movies.
Or when we going to the movies.
When we going to the skating rink.
You have to grow up that fast. You don't seem to understand. That does have a complete mental thing to you because now you're thrown in a jail with grown men who are doing grown men things. And that's what I need people to understand, that the prison pipeline is something that needs to be stopped. For this individual right here, your husband, he knows first class. He's inside an institution. Like he said, I didn't know what was going on, and I get that. He didn't know. Even though I was an adult, when I went in, I still didn't know what was going on because I said, how can I come from being in garden, being a guard here, now in behind the walls? I was inside the walls, I got to leave. Here, you're telling me I can't leave. So I don't get it. You know, and you don't get it. It's really, really a shocking situation. And I know it was shocking for him. You know, my dad wasn't around. He was there, but he wasn't around. But like I told people that story, but you guys can see that. You'll hear that story more. But like I said, this situation is what he's going through is traumatic because it's really stressful. It's stressful on you as a wife. You know, you're trying to keep his head up, and he's doing a great job of it, but still, you have to keep your head up because you have to go. You're doing the baggage too. You're carrying too. You know, my wife was carrying it. She was carrying it when I was locked up. You know, I didn't think about it until after I got up and talked to other women who were locked up or got their husbands locked up, and they tell them about all the stories that they have to go through mentally. They have to go through stuff. I think there should be counseling for wives who are dealing with that. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're crazy, but you need the strength. You need the stability. There's things you need somebody to hold your hand while you walk through this because not every Jan down the street is not going to be able to hold your hand and walk down with it because she got nobody inside in the malls. It's a lot different when the brother But your husband or your son, that's something that, or your father, that's something that you need seriously, mental stability to help you get through, or it will break you. The prison system
will
break you in and out the walls, and that's what it's chose to do. And it's not, it's just for us men. And I want to talk to a man because I'm a man. It's all up for us men to stop the tradition, stop going in behind the walls. Because you have to understand, you are hurting the ones you love. Not only are you hurting yourself, right now let's take you out of it. Let's put your wife involved in it. Let's put your child involved in it. Let's put your mother involved in it. Your community, let's put them involved in it. Because they're the ones who's hurting. You're hurting because you're locked up because you can't see them. But they hurting because they have to carry your weight because you locked up. Your mother, your wife has to tell that daughter or tell that son, Daddy's okay. I talked to him. Here's a letter from Daddy. You get that little letter in the mail, incarcerated. What is his prison number on it? Daddy, what's that? Mommy, what is that number underneath his name mean? You know, why do you want to tell your child that your child locked up? You have to tell him, but why do you want to tell him? How do you tell him that? How do you tell Daddy, how do you tell your daughter, Daddy's little girl, that he's locked up and he's in there for 10 to 20?
Right.
How are you going to get the strength to do
right.
that? How are you going to get the strength to carry that on? You can't. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. No, what you're saying is true because the thing that we were facing this last year was about the pressure mentally. Because it's things that I wouldn't tell him or it's things that he wouldn't tell me because he didn't want me to stress out and then I didn't want him
right.
to stress out. So, but I was internalizing it and he was internalizing it because he didn't have anybody to talk to. I didn't have anybody
right.
to talk to and he was trying not to hurt
right.
me and I was not trying to hurt him. And it actually kind of blew up in our face to where we ended up having to deal with it anyway. You know, so
exactly.
that is the purpose of our show is because we want to be that outlet and we want to let people know, you know, I'm your grocery clerk that's checking you out for your groceries. I'm your attorney. I'm your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I am all these women. You would be surprised who you're in company with that are married to
right.
men that are in prison.
That's
you
so
know,
true.
You would be surprised the women who are doing life sentences with men that are in prison. You know, everything that you see right now, just I'm not going to say everything, but pretty much a lot of it, like this prison reform, is because of women who are married to men, mothers,
mm-hmm.
fathers, people that were previously
mm-hmm.
incarcerated. That's who's changing this law. That's who's being a force
right.
to be reckoned with right now. You know, and
that's
so
right.
we're finally opening our mouths and we're not afraid because, see, here's the thing. At one point in time, the men were so afraid of the retaliation that they didn't speak. But now
mm-hmm.
they're noticing, they're beginning to notice the support that they have, so they're beginning to speak out. You know, they're beginning to say, hey,
what?
This is what's going on, because they know somebody will fight for them.
And that's a beautiful thing, because that's what you need when you're on behind the walls, because you as wives, especially wives and mothers, are your only line of defense when you're outside in walls. Because wives
yeah.
can stand up for you, mothers can stand up for you, but like I said, a wife will go to bat. Because then she has to bat the family. I have to say that sometimes the
yeah.
wife has to bat the mothers. And the father, they never bomb on inside the family. Like, how could you let him get locked up?
Yeah.
And you can't blame her for that. You can't blame her for that.
Yeah.
Because there was many times where I had
yeah.
to tell my mom, when I got locked up, don't blame my wife for that. I did that. Don't blame my wife
yeah.
for that. Don't you dare do that.
Yeah.
I said, because that's right now,
yeah.
she is the only one who is putting putting money on my books. And she's the only one who's putting food in my daughter's mouth when I'm supposed to be doing that. So I don't make her
yeah.
mad. Don't make her upset because of that. And I see so
yeah.
many women that have to go through that as far as battling on the outside. The battle outside sometimes is worse than what the man has to go through on the inside, because you got to battle.
It
like,
is.
My wife had to she had to battle the media, because my case is high profile. I was on the media. So she had to battle the media because my last name is Bobo. And so it was like, my wife's like, go to the place, a predominantly white place. and she knows when it's on the news, they say Bobo, and her last name was Bobo. They goes, oh, yeah, we saw your husband on there fighting COs, and it was on the news, and they had to tase him, and that never happened. It made her so upset she had to leave work early that day. So what I'm saying is, this is stuff like that you don't think about as being on inside the wall.
Yeah.
How is it affecting my family? And it's affecting them. And it's affecting me because right now, my queen, I give you all the props in the world for riding and dying with him. Because that is great because he needs that. He needs that strength.
Yeah.
That's why I had
a
great
question. And we're about to make things happen. I just connected with a group called NECO. And when we get offline, we're going to talk about NECO. They're a really amazing group here in Cincinnati. Well, it's a for-profit organization for foster kids, but it's super dope. But and I didn't know that they even existed, so I interviewed with them the other day. But everything you're saying is true because, you know, I'm in several groups with over 2,000 women that we hide in private groups because nobody understands. And I made a post the other day. I said I come here to vent because I lost every friend that I had because nobody can relate to the way I'm feeling. Like, nobody can understand what it's like when I hear my husband getting strip searched for nothing. And, I mean, you're so furious. There's nothing you can do, but you have to stay strong because I know that if I break down in that moment, because now I can't be his wife. I have to be his advocate now. So I have to I have to listen to this. I have to endure this with him, and I can't show any sign of weakness in that very hostile moment because as soon as I do, it's going to cause him to react because now he feels like he has to protect my feelings. So even though we're not physically with each other, mentally we are so bonded that, my mood can change his whole day. My mood can determine whether he goes to the hole or LPH.
It can.
You know,
it's just,
and we want the world to see this. We want people to know that this is what they deal with, you know. So
and
we just want to shed some light on
it. This show. It's great that you guys are doing this show because this is the type of show that needs to be put out there. Everybody hears prisoners, inmates talking and stuff like that. Everybody hears inmates talking, but they never hear an inmate and a wife talking on the same show. That way you guys can say, that, well, you know, this is how I feel. You know, sometimes you might get upset at each other. Well, this is what happened. This is what happened. Or you should both of y'all start crying. That's because it's real. That's something that people need to see if you guys are still real.
Yeah.
Even when you guys even separate hundreds and thousands of miles from somebody, you guys are still real. You still have the connection of husband and wife, and it can still be done. But the whole thing is people need to understand that and give you time to make this thing work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's about to get really real. He keeps saying, do you understand? We're on the radio, babe. We're on the radio. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Because me, see, there's a difference. See, this is where we're polar opposites. I don't get excited initially. I'm an observer.
Right.
I stand back, but he thinks ahead. So I know that's why God made it so we could be together, because he thinks years ahead. Like, he sees far beyond. And I'm just right here in the moment, like, okay, but I need to make sure I'm a perfectionist. You know what I mean? So I'm just really sitting back, and
I can tell.
I can tell.
Because that's why I have people, and I tell people, that's why I have women in my group, and I have women in high positions in my group, because that's what they do. They keep me grounded. Because Danielle and Christy, when the men will tell me, you need to cut that down. You need to slow that down, man. You need to slow down. Even if I get mad at them, they'll put me in jail. Hey, who are you talking to? You know what I'm saying? But you know what? And there's times where I do go off on them, and they look at me like I'm crazy. And then next I know, they hung up on me, or they ain't talking to me until later on down the line. So God, we had to cool down because you know, you was wrong for that. You know, and like I said, you know, I was like, man, you're not my mama. But they know my mama, so I'll call your mama. And that's how it will work. But it's like I'm saying, women keep you grounded. If you keep your mind together and you guys work yourself as a team, which it sounds like it, you guys will keep each other grounded and you guys will go far. And sometimes you have to get that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to find it. I'm glad he found you. I'm glad you found him. You guys are each other's. You guys are each other's.
Let me put him in, Steve.
One's a bat.
Let me put him in real quick. Hold on. Let me add him in.
Okay.
Hold on.
Let me see how much time we got left. We got like 2 minutes or 3 minutes left. Okay, we have 5 minutes. Okay, so we can come in and talk for the next little five. Go to me.
$5.67. Your call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Thank you for using GTL.
We're sorry for the technical difficulties.
Yes.
This is prison life.
Oh, yeah. They got to make that money somehow. You guys have to work through the time. We got 5 minutes. So
now, go ahead and ask that your last question, Steve.
My last question is, with you being incarcerated as a teen, how do you think that has made you feel as now as being an adult? How do you think you'll be able to react in society being locked up as a teen? Because things have changed. So are you going to be able to deal with society? Because, darn it, I know I was only there for 22 months. If things have changed in 22 months, there's no more streets like that. This was gone. So you know things have changed once you get out. So how's that going to affect you?
I look at it, for real, I take it a day at a time. Like, when I come home, I'm going to take it a day at a time because I know a lot of things change. Like, I was a kid, basically, so I know a lot of things change, so I'm going to take it a day at a time. And, yeah, I think I'll be able to adapt back to society because
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
Because I want it. I don't want to be another black man that the system has failed. You get what I'm saying? So I want it. So I think I would be able to adapt back to society, but I still have to take it a day at a time because it's going to take some get used to, like just to be home and be free because I've been restricted my whole life. I had rules my whole life, so just being free and be able to do what I want to do, it's going to take some time to get used to. It is.
And I try to keep him grounded, too. So, like, I try to interject him. Like, when we have parent-teacher conferences, he's there. You know what I mean? Or if something changes from his neighborhood, he's there. And then he has a lot of books. And I try to keep him as current as possible.
Gotcha.
So he's not, like, overwhelmed because a lot has changed, you know. So,
And that's the most major thing. It's like you just said, you have to keep him that. You have to keep him up to beat and let him know what's going on in society. Changes every day is something different, especially right now when we got in office. You know things going to change just real with him. So, but I'm just saying, man, you do it, man. There's no doubt. She's going to keep you up to beat, and she's going to be a soldier by his side. Yes.
Hey, Bo.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Danielle, and I could not let you guys go without telling you guys how much I love your love story. I love that your message is just loving through the bars, loving through the tribulations, and loving through the bullcrap and seeing the bigger picture. And that's all I wanted to say before you guys went off air. Okay. All right, boss man, you back on it.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Like I said, you guys are more than welcome to ever come back to the show.
Thank you guys so much, like, for having us. And I want to say thank you guys so much just for having us. And once again, it is Inspirational 1050. If you're in the Cincinnati area, if you're not, it's Inspirational1050.com. And it's on Monday. It is called The One Life Together with Ru and Chad. And I think that you guys will really enjoy it. You know, I think you really enjoy it. And
look, he's a natural. He just plugged us, Bo.
There you go. There you go. That's how you plug it. Plug it. I do not care. That's what this show is for, to plug everybody. I will definitely plug you. I'll put it up on – send it to me. I'll definitely put it up on my page. And that's what
I do.
And
you're
going to
be on there. You're going to come on and you're going to talk about the organization, what you do. Yeah. Like, this is a platform for everybody.
Yes.
It's for everybody.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes. Man, ain't no doubt there. Well, like I said, before I get off, they about to cut us off here. All right. Appreciate it, man. 30 seconds, man. I want to wish you guys the best. Much love. Man, keep your head up in there. Don't let them get you down, bruh. All right?
This
be a leader, not a follower.
From an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
All right, y'all. Bozilla out.
Thank you, though.